All right, everybody, welcome to episode 332 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. All right, we're going to talk a lot of boys wrestling tonight. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Ankeny Centennial coach Jay Groth and one of his seniors. We'll also have a special guest on from Legacy Realty. But right now, my first guest is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny boys squad. Excuse me, I lost my place here just for a second. So it happens when you have your questions on a phone. Excuse me for that. So he's guided the Hawks to a 7-4 record, including a 2-3 mark in the CIML conference. And his team is currently 11th in the Class 3A dual rankings from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. He's Jack Wignall. Jack, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Well, you guys have had some ups and downs, you know, this year with some injuries and illnesses, you know, like a lot of teams have had. But your squad is coming off a runner-up finish on Saturday at the Bob Sharp Invitational, where you advanced 8 wrestlers to the finals and you had a pair of individual champs. So do you feel like you guys are heading in the right direction with just a few weeks left in the season?
Yeah, we absolutely are. We're getting kids down to the weights that they need to be in. They're starting to perform the way that that way we have expected them to perform. We've had some back-to-back injuries with a couple different kids that have kept them out, and they just don't have quite the conditioning that we would typically see now. But we were just looking at it tonight. We've got 27 days until state wrestling tournament. So that is more than enough time to get those guys ready to go.
Well, team has certainly had some highlights this season. You guys went unbeaten on the first day of the Battle of Waterloo last month and went on to earn a 9th place finish among 32 squads. And you placed 5th in the loaded Mendenhall Invitational earlier this month. You know, you guys have shown that you can compete with some of the best teams, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. When we got kids that don't have the flu, don't have bad ankles or other things. When we put a team together with who we want in the lineup, yeah, it really makes a big difference. And I felt we were pretty close at the Battle of Waterloo, not 100%. Then we came back from Christmas break and didn't have the showing we wanted to against Southeast Polk, no doubt. But we rebounded pretty well on Saturday at the Mendenhall. And putting it together for a dual meet on a Thursday against Dowling was a little frustrating, but I thought we rebounded well on Saturday at the Bob Sharp.
Let's talk about some of your individuals. The guy who's sitting here with us tonight, and I'll be talking to him in a few minutes. He captured the 120-pound title on Saturday. He's ranked 4th at 126 with a 15-0 record, but you told me that the plan is for him to stay at 120 now. You know, and you've got to believe that Ben Walsh can contend for a state title at that weight.
Absolutely. He knows he could do that. We thought he could have at 126 too, so this is kind of something that we said, Ben, what do you want to do? And he goes, I want to go to 20. And I said, okay. But absolutely he can contend for a title at 20. It's exciting to get him down and he got a chance to wrestle that last weekend. And that was coming off the flu. I don't know. He's probably 90% right now. Just because when you're trying to keep your weight down and getting over an illness like that, it just takes a little longer. But I would much rather have him in the position with 27 days left than just get it with a week left. So I feel like Ben's in a great spot.
And then you have 5 other ranked wrestlers, and one of them is freshman Ryan Dobson, who's ranked 8th at 215. He also captured a title on Saturday with a 4-1 win over Joseph Hauser of Mason City. That raised his record to 20-6. In the semifinals, he avenged 2 of his earlier losses with a 5-1 win over Connor Bestrictory of Cedar Rapids Prairie, who's ranked 12th. You've told me a couple of times this year how impressed you've been with, you know, how Ryan has wrestled. Did you expect him to come in this year and have the impact that he's had, though?
I've had this conversation with his dad, and I don't know that I thought he would have the impact that he had. I'm not sure he thought he could have that impact, but he is, And it has been incredible. Each week he gets better and better. I mean, to avenge two losses to an upperclassman like that, and then to beat a really good wrestler from Mason City in the finals, that's a junior, is impressive for a freshman at 215, and especially with Ryan's build. He probably doesn't like me calling this. It's just like a little spark plug. I mean, the kid just doesn't quit, and he gets better every week.
And then your other ranked wrestlers are number 10, Eddie Salgado at 113, number 12, Aiden Winkie at 138, number 2, Calvin Rachi at 165, and number 8, Cash Johnson at 175. They all play second on Saturday, along with Noah Kaufman at 144 and Gavin Gatewood at 157. Rachi is having another great season after going 34-6 and placing fourth at 132 last year. He's now 14-1 after he dropped a 4-1 decision to the defending state champ, Matt Crossen of Indianola. And that was a matchup of unbeaten wrestlers on Saturday. You know, that could have been a preview of the state championship match, don't you think?
It absolutely could be. Calvin, we've talked a little bit about that match and just some strategy. Maybe the next time we get to see him, which would be great to be in the state finals. That'd be incredible. I think that Calvin has a really good shot at being able to do that.
Of course, Winkie is a two-time state qualifier. He also dropped a 4-1 decision to a higher-ranked opponent on Saturday, number 6, Tegan Ray of Linmar. And I know you told me over the weekend that Aiden was in on a lot of shots and just couldn't finish, but, you know, you're not worried about him at all, and maybe that's a match that he can get back down the road, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be at our district tournament, that kid. So, getting that opportunity to wrestle that kid again and avenging that loss would be something that I totally see Aiden being able to do. He is just fine, and excited for him to wrestle this week. And we're going to get some really good duels over in Iowa City, get our kids and just see some different people.
And then Cash Johnson is a guy who placed eighth at 150 a year ago, but he's only had, you know, a limited number of matches this season. His record is now 5-3 after Saturday's tournament. Do you feel like he's getting closer to where he needs to be?
Oh, he absolutely is. And I keep telling myself that, he's had 8 matches. And for a kid that this time last year probably had 25 or 30, to have that few matches for him is just bad luck. He kind of strained a pec early on and twisted an ankle right before the Donnybrook. We were getting a workout in before we left. And, man, that has just set him back. And ankles are tough, but he is getting a lot stronger. Cardio wise, and the ankle's not bothering him. So I'm excited about Cash.
And then Eddie Salgado is your other returning state qualifier. He was seeded 24th in last year's tournament at 106, but you know, he won a pair of consolation matches against higher seeds, and he nearly reached the awards podium. He's now 19-7 after Saturday's tournament. And I know you feel like he lost a match in the finals to Indianola's Chandler Brown. That, he could have won that one.
Absolutely could have. I had a conversation with Eddie the other day, and I just said, when we wrestled Valley the first dual meet of the year, he just didn't wrestle very well, and he knew it. But, in the back of our minds, we're like, oh, man, I hope that Eddie can get to that point this season where he started from, or where he ended the season last year. And I told him the other day that he has far exceeded that. So he's just got to believe that and not let those little mistakes creep in all the time, but he is wrestling really, really well right now.
All right, let's look ahead now. You guys will host a big conference dual meet against number 6 Waukee Northwest on Thursday. Now, based on where you guys are currently ranked, this could be a preview of the final in a regional duel, couldn't it?
In fact, we talked about that yesterday. Coach Anderson and I did that. If things don't move too much, I know that the next Iowa High School ranking is due on Monday. It just seems like even when you beat teams, you don't move a ton. That could very well be a regional dual final in a couple weeks for sure.
And then you mentioned you guys will be going to the duels in Iowa City High on Saturday. And after that one, you'll close out the regular season next week with a pair of home duels against Waukee and Urbandale. Then you'll have the regional and hopefully the state duels the following week before your team will host a Class 3A district tournament on February 14th. Were you pretty happy when you found out that you guys would be hosting districts?
I've never hosted as head coach. I know Coach Ewing used to host it once in a while. So we kind of just took our name out of it for 10, 12 years. And with the things that they do now, two mats, and we felt like, because we would host a lot of tournaments and we'd have a little fatigue with, I think, with our parents getting workers and table workers. So I think that we're in a good spot now. And being able to host that, it just get two mats down. It's going to be pretty simple set up, and our kids will get to sleep in a little bit later and get the home field advantage. That's the plan.
Of course, Dallas Center Grimes is one of the teams in your district, and they're currently ranked 9th in the Class 3A tournament rankings. Carlisle and Linmar, like you mentioned earlier, are among the other squads in the field. You know, what did you think of your team's draw? Do you feel like, you know, there's a good chance that you could get a lot of guys to stay with that field?
Well, I think when those initially came out, we were like, oh, that's, you know, that's a decent district. But much like it happens every year for us, that it seems as though when that season takes off and these teams get going, they end up being a lot better than people anticipated. I don't even know if Dallas Center Grimes is in the top 20 dual team or tournament team. And then all of a sudden, I think they're ranked dual wise. I think they're ranked 3rd, maybe 4th, somewhere around there. And then ranked as a dual team, and they've really done some good things over there, but that's okay. I mean, we don't want an easy path to the state tournament and then have kids get there and just go 0-2. So we want the kids that have earned that to get to the state tournament, and that gives them an opportunity to place.
All right, Jack. Well, these next few weeks should be fun. Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for coming in tonight, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much, Dan.
You bet. My next guest is a senior on the Ankeny team. He is currently ranked 4th at 126 pounds in Class 3A with a 15-0 record. He's a 3-time state qualifier who went 30-5 and placed 5th at 113 as a junior. And he earned his 99th career victory on Saturday when he recorded a 17-1 technical fall over Sawyer Nelson of Indianola to win the 120-pound title in the Bob Sharp Invitational at Ankeny. So he's got a chance to reach the 100-win milestone this week. He is Ben Walsh. Ben, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good.
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on winning the title on Saturday. You really dominated your bracket. You didn't have any close matches. You know, were you pretty confident going into the tournament that you could do that?
Yeah, really confident.
Well, Coach told me that you had the flu the week before, and that's why you didn't wrestle in the Mendenhall Invitational at Ames, which is where you were supposed to make your debut at 120 this season. You know, that was about the same time that I had the flu, too. And Coach told me after Saturday's tournament that you were still kind of feeling, you know, some lingering effects from the illness. So are you still feeling it, or do you feel like you're pretty much over it now?
Almost over it, yeah.
What's been the biggest issue that you've had? Just like a cough or something?
Yeah, just congestion is all.
Well, Coach said the plan all season was for you to eventually go down to 120. You know, now that you've made that weight, is it pretty easy for you to maintain the weight? And do you feel like you're a stronger wrestler at that weight?
It's challenging to maintain, but I can do it, yeah. And I feel a lot bigger than everyone there, so.
You certainly look like you are. Yeah. Well, your team had 8 wrestlers in the finals at the Sharp tournament and came away with a runner-up finish. What did you think of your team's performance? Do you think you guys, you know, are starting to peak at the right time?
Yeah, I think we're getting there. Could have wrestled a little bit better in the finals matches, but we're starting to figure it out a lot more.
Well, you also won a title in the Baltsley Invitational last month at Johnston, where you posted a 10-3 decision in the finals over Lou Elston of Lawrence, Kansas. You then went 6-0 the following week at the Battle of Waterloo, where you helped your team to a 9th place finish. What's been the highlight of your season thus far? You know, would it be the match on Saturday they gave you that 9-9th win?
Yeah, probably that one so far, yeah.
Let's talk about your upcoming meets. Like I mentioned earlier, you guys will host Waukee Northwest on Thursday, and you will have that chance to earn your 100th career win. What's that going to mean to you to reach that milestone?
It meant a lot for me and my family, just showing all my work over the years.
I mean, do you think when you were a freshman that you'd have a chance to be here someday to get to that milestone?
Yeah.
Well, as for the team, do you feel like this is a pretty important meet coming up for you guys tomorrow?
Yeah, really important. Plus a lot.
Well, we talked to Coach earlier about the possibility, you know, this could be a preview of a possible final in the regional duel. So I imagine that, you know, that could affect some of the strategy for both teams. I see that the Wolves have 9 ranked wrestlers, and one of them is Joey Cahill. He's ranked 5th right behind you at 126. But if you are at 120 now, then, you know, maybe you won't see him. Northwest also has Carew Christensen, who's ranked 4th at 113. And I suppose it's possible that, you know, they could maybe move him up. So do you have any idea who you're going to face tomorrow?
No, not yet. Probably game time decision.
Well, I don't want you to give away what your strategy is, but do you like the opportunity to wrestle the best guys that you can, or are you fine with just wrestling wherever coach, you know, feels like you give the team the best chance to win?
Wherever we can win. I mean, I like good competition, but whatever's better.
But on Saturday, your team will compete in the duels over there at Iowa City High. And one of the teams in the field there is Cedar Rapids Prairie. They boast the number two wrestler at 120 and Chase Watkinson. So that could potentially be a big match for you if you were happening to see him. So have you ever faced him before? Do you know anything about him?
Yeah, that would be a good match. Hopefully I wrestle him this weekend.
Well, we talked earlier with Coach about your team hosting the district tournament next month. Were you happy to find out that you guys would be hosting the tournament? And what did you think of your team's draw?
I liked it. I think it'd be a good change staying home for districts. And our draw is pretty good, so we'll have a lot of qualifiers, or we should at least.
Well, it doesn't look like there are currently any ranked wrestlers at your weight, who could be in your district. So I imagine you feel pretty good about your chances of getting back to state, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, assuming you do make it to state, I would guess that your goal is to win a state title. You probably won't be satisfied with just getting on the podium, will you?
No, state title is the goal.
Well, looking at the current rankings, Oliver Lang of Valley is the number one guy at your weight. He's followed by Watkinson, Kipton Lewis of Waverly Shell Rock, and Caden Eller of Dowling Catholic. I imagine you'll be ranked pretty high at 120 in the next rankings. But do you know much about any of those guys, and do you feel like your bracket could be pretty wide open for anybody to win it?
I don't think I've ever really wrestled any of those top four guys, but I think me dropping down will be pretty secure. I think I have a good chance versus all of them.
Now, have you made any plans for next year yet? Are you planning to wrestle in college?
Yeah, I'm planning to wrestle in college right now, but undecided on where.
Have you looked at some schools?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah. Well, hey, Ben, thanks a lot for coming in there. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way. Yeah,
thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017, is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest is a realtor at Legacy Realty, and she's making her debut on the podcast. She is Jennifer Aguirre. Jennifer, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we talk some real estate, I wanted to ask you about your kids. Of course, your son Rio is a star on the Ankeny boys basketball team, and your daughter Allie starts for the fourth-ranked girls squad as a freshman. Mm-hmm. You've obviously been going to their games for a long time, but do you get nervous watching them play?
Yeah, absolutely. I think any parent gets a little nervous. You want them to do well. You want things to go well. But yeah, I do.
Also, I was over there at the games in Waukee last night. That was a good win for the girls. Mm-hmm. Boy, that Waukee team, even though the record's not very good, they were pretty competitive, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. They stayed in the game. Absolutely.
And then Rio had a really good game. I know the boys kind of struggled a little bit overall, but boy, those Waukee boys are so good.
They are good. They are good. And that was a good game. I mean, sometimes when you're playing these teams in the CML, they could go either way, just depends on the night. But yeah, we took a loss last night for the boys. So
yeah, there's just no easy games. Of course, this Friday, both teams will be playing Johnston. That'll be a tough one for the girls, especially playing that team. But yeah, should be fun. Fun to see how it turns out. Well, hey, let's talk some real estate now. I know you were a high school teacher for a long time. Mm-hmm. You told me before you switched careers. So when was it when you got into real estate, and how long have you been with Legacy?
So I got into real estate a couple of years ago, and I got into Legacy. It's been a little over a year now with Legacy. Several of us that were working with Coldwell Banker moved to Legacy when Coldwell Banker closed. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really smooth transition. I've actually really enjoyed real estate. It's been a nice change. I loved teaching, absolutely loved teaching, but just needed a change in my life. And real estate's been a lot of fun. Legacy is a fantastic place to work. We have amazing people, amazing leadership, a lot of supportive colleagues. It just feels like a family atmosphere, a lot of support. They provide, just amazing, professional development, education, support for our agents, newer agents like myself. It's been really nice.
Did you look at any other careers about possibly getting into before you settled on real estate, or is that just something that popped into your head?
It's something that I thought about. It's something that I can see myself doing long term, as I get older. And so it was something that was always in the back of my mind. And I just kind of pulled the plug and decided to take the classes and do the work. And it all worked out. I'm glad I did it.
Well, you talked about the work environment there at Legacy, and I realized that you don't have a lot of experience working at other places. But what do you think that you guys do maybe that some other places don't do?
You know what? I think it is the support. Legacy provides, like, right in home, a lot of the, like, the education, the classes that we need to have, the training that we need to have. There is a lot of people in the leadership positions that provide, who you can call at any time. There's a lot of experienced agents that work there that are always willing to mentor and provide support and help and advice. I also think what's kind of neat about Legacy, and I don't know if other agencies do this as well, but, you know, we have, it's like a text chain where you can message and someone, if you have a question, someone will get right back to you, and everybody's always willing to share resources and share advice. And so that's kind of a cool thing. And just the positive atmosphere, it's very much like a family atmosphere. We have, bonding, luncheons,
sure,
things like that to get to know each other on a, on a more personal level. So yeah, it's a great place to work, and it's growing. It's a newer agency, actually. It's only about 2 years old, but it's absolutely exploding. I think we're up to like 156 agents now, which is pretty darn good in a 2 year span. So, it's a popular place to be right now.
Yeah, I know. I've looked at your website, and there's a lot of agents on there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know a lot of the agents that come in here to talk about what you guys do, they might want to plug a certain property or something, or development that they're working on. Is there anything in specific that you're working on, or?
No, I don't actually work with any builders or anything like that. So I don't have any specific property to plug. One of the things that I will share, which I think is worth sharing, is that I've truly enjoyed working with first time home buyers. And there's, especially with my education background, it's really meaningful and rewarding to do that. One of the things that I think a lot of the younger adults don't realize is that, with rent being so high right now, they could qualify for a mortgage and be paying less in a mortgage payment that they would be paying in rent. So there's a lot of programs out there right now to help first-time home buyers. There's special incentives, all sorts of, they have actually special, grants for them as well. So there's a lot of opportunities out there for young people who are looking to buy their first home. And I think that some people think, oh, I can't do it, I'm not going to qualify. Well, you might be surprised, because I've been getting a lot of first-time home buyers into homes over the last year, and it's been pretty exciting.
Well, yeah. I know this is something that I've talked about with one of the other agents, but the average age of the first-time home buyer has gone up in the last few years, hasn't it? Isn't it now 40 is the average age?
Right, yeah. So I would encourage those that are maybe getting into their late 20s, early 30s, to really consider it, because it's something that, when you keep, the longer you rent, the longer you're just tossing money away. So, I think a lot of those younger just don't realize that there's programs out there for them to qualify for a mortgage and to get into a home.
Well, yeah. we have our 28-year-old son living at home with us now, and I'm hoping he can save some money so he doesn't have to wait till he's 40. But
yeah. Well, and that's becoming more and more common too. Multi-generational living is something that's becoming more popular.
For sure.
Yeah, with the price of the price of rent, and even with home prices and so on. So, but things are looking good. Actually, the projection that from the Iowa Realtors Association is that we're going to start the 2026 is going supposed to be starting off on a better than 2025 did as far as the real estate market goes. So, it's looking good. I think 2026 will be a really good year.
Well, good. Hey, Jennifer, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. And I'll probably see you at a game here upcoming soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Bye.
All right. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and is the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. And we appreciate their support. All right, well, my next guest is the only head coach that the Ankeny Centennial Wrestlers have ever had, and he has guided his team to a 6-11 record this season, including a 1-5 mark in the CIML Conference. He is Jay Groth. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys have had some ups and downs this year with some injuries and illnesses, like a lot of teams have had, but your squad is coming off the Osage duels on Saturday, where you guys rebounded after losing your first three duels to defeat your next three opponents. So do you feel like you guys are headed in the right direction with just a few weeks left in the season?
I do. We're getting healthy. We got, I think, you know, knock on wood, we keep everybody that's in the lineup now. Everybody seems to be healthy and injury free. Or wrestling's a tough sport, so you're always going to have some nagging pain and injury type things. But, you know, tough group of guys, and they're out there practicing, lifting, training every day, getting ready to compete. So I think we're in a good spot right now.
Certainly the biggest highlight on Saturday was getting your defending state champion, Max DeBolt, back on the mat after being out since the season opener due to an injury. He wrestled four matches at the tournament and recorded three pins and a technical fall at 175 pounds, where he is still ranked number one in Class 3A. One of those pins came against Brody Booman of Davenport Assumption, who is ranked fifth in Class 2A, and that helped your team to its first win of the day, which came on a criteria, a tiebreaker against the Knights. Now, I know Max still has to work on some conditioning, but did he look like his old self on the mat?
He looked pretty good. You know, he only really had one full day of practice. He got cleared Thursday. We worked out on, you know, had regular practice on Friday. He competed on Saturday. So I didn't let him wrestle six matches, kind of held him out of a couple just to get him back, you know, his timing back and his mat awareness back. But he looked pretty good. He's going to get better every day, you know, and he's got a tough weekend. He's got the number two ranked guy this weekend from Carlisle, who's the state champ as well, Jackson Miller. So, you know, if seedings work out, they'll see each other in the finals, I would assume, and that'll be a good match. But it is good to have Max back. He is obviously a super talented wrestler, and he works hard in practice. And a lot of the younger kids especially kind of look up and aspire to do the kind of things that Max has been able to do. So it's good to have him back on the mat.
Well, we'll certainly talk about that tournament coming up here in a few minutes. Of course, both Max and senior Kel Vandermark have committed to wrestle at Iowa State here in the last couple of months. And Kel has also had to deal with some injury issues this year. The start of his season got delayed a little bit due to his recovery from off-season knee surgery. But he's been back in the lineup now for more than a month, and he's worked his way down to 126 pounds, where he was ranked third. And he had the deciding win in your team's victory over Waukee last Thursday. Kel then went 5-1 on Saturday, with his only loss coming in overtime to freshman Adam Carey of Independence, who was ranked second in Class 2A. So I believe Kale has four losses now in the season, which is, of course, one more than he had all of last year when he was a state runner-up. And I know you've been saying that you want Kale to just open up his offense more and take the shots that he's capable of. You know, do you think if he does that he'll get to where he wants to be by next month?
I do. And we keep, you know, getting on him about taking shots and getting to his leg attacks. He's got great attacks. He's relentless when he wrestles, and when he's on his game, he wears people out. He's got a motor that doesn't quit. But I think the surgery kind of got in his head a little bit about committing to, you know, taking shots, getting on the knee, or, you know, getting down on the mat with that knee that he had the surgery on. So at this point now, we're kind of like, you know, he's got great short offense, you know, front headlocks and go behinds and things like that. But we're like, okay, quit doing that for now. You're really good at that. Let's make sure we get back to where we're at the level we were at before with our leg attacks. And yeah, you might be able to snap somebody down and score, but right now let's snap them down, let them come up, and then get to their legs and finish. So he's getting there, and he knows what he needs to do. I've got plenty of confidence in that he's going to be where he needs to be at the state tournament.
Well, I've seen a couple of the tech falls that he's had this year. He's really taken advantage of those three-point takedowns, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Yeah, he's a takedown machine, and it's fun to watch him wrestle because, like I said, he does. He wears people out, and that's from a wrestling coach's standpoint, and from wrestlers, just, you know, it's fun to break people like that and just wear people out. And you can see the look in their eye, like, I don't want to be out here anymore, you know. And that's, as far as wrestlers go, that's kind of like one of the most euphoric things you can, as a wrestler and a coach, to know that I just broke that kid mentally, physically, emotionally, and he doesn't want to wrestle me anymore. That's a great feeling. So it's fun to see it happen.
Your team currently boasts two other rated wrestlers. Junior Ethan Sodergren is 10th at 150, and he went 4-2 on Saturday with two pins and a tech fall in his last three matches. Senior Brandon Bogseth is 9th at 215, and both of those guys have also been out of the lineup at times. Has this been one of the more frustrating seasons that you've had as a coach, just in terms of the number of injuries, you know, that you've had to deal with and trying to get that best lineup out on the mat?
Definitely. It's frustrating, and, you know, we get kids when they get hurt, and I'm old school guy. I've been a head wrestling coach for 34 years, and when, you know, these days, it just seems like there's a lot more outside influences, like, oh, you need to do this for 3 weeks and you need to do that. And we got to get an MRI and an X-ray and a doctor's appointment and a chiropractor and cupping and all kinds of things and physical therapy and all this, which, you know, there's some good, definitely some good to that. But like I mentioned earlier, wrestling is a contact sport. It's physical. If something doesn't hurt every day, then you're doing it wrong. Because it is a physical demanding sport. And, you know, we're just working on getting kids tougher and getting to fight through adversity and to be able to go out and compete, even with, you know, something that is uncomfortable physically. But we're getting there. And, you know, we got the community has great trainers and great doctors, and they're very helpful. But, you know, as a coach and as a staff, we're like, holy cow. I mean, what else are we going to deal with here? So it's, I'm glad that right now we're in a pretty good place.
Well, the guy who is here with us tonight, and I'll be talking to him in a few minutes, is senior Dirk Winkle. He went 3-3 at the tournament on Saturday at 285 pounds, and he had some big wins in two of your team's victories. You know, what can you say about his contributions to the team this season?
Dirk works hard. Dirk's always worked hard. He does a great job leading the team. He's one of our captains. He's always there. He's always putting in his time, and he's having more success now. He's getting better all the time. And like you said, he had some big wins over the weekend. Like a pin against the kid from Humboldt was awesome. That we were kind of coaches were we split on the two mats for that duel because we got done there. The other duel got done before us. So we're kind of got a couple coaches on one mat watching both mats at the same time. And Coach Brule and I were like, we need this. And then he went out there, took him down and pinned him. And we were like, yep, a little high five with each other and go, attaboy, Dirk. So he's been doing a great job for us this year.
And then some of your younger guys like Brendan Harless at 106 and Ethan Hand at 120 also had good days. Both of those guys had three falls in the tournament. And it seems like, you know, you've been happy with the progress of your lower weights.
Definitely. We're a very young team. Last year, we graduated 19 seniors. And this year, I think we have six seniors. A lot of them are seeing varsity wrestling really regularly for the first time, Dirk included. And it's definitely a growth thing, you know, a learning curve that wrestling varsity is very much different than wrestling JV. And wrestling in high school is way different than wrestling in eighth grade. Or in our AWC or kids club. So I've been very pleased with how guys like Harless and Meckley and Hand and Will Sloan and Brady Babcock and some of these younger guys are figuring things out. Taking our lumps at times, but really developing. They keep coming back every day. They keep working hard. They keep asking for help, and that's all we can ask for.
Let's take a look ahead to some of your upcoming meets. You guys will go to Johnston on Thursday for a conference meet against the Dragons, who are currently ranked 18th in the Class 3A dual rankings. Now, you guys aren't currently ranked, but you did just beat the number 21 Waukee last week. And I would think another win over a ranked opponent might be enough to get you into those final rankings, which are slated to come out next week. That is also when the regional dual pairings will come out. So is that pretty important for you and the team, you know, to get into the rankings? Because that would determine whether you get into the duels, right?
Yeah, that would. And, I mean, you know, with individual rankings and team rankings, it's what matters is that we're performing and when we're going out and we're trying to score points. And if I think we got a great shot of beating Johnston tomorrow, looking at the matchups and some of the guys that we've wrestled them in at the Johnston tournament, and we've seen some of them before. We've gone head to head with a few. I think we got a great opportunity to go out and beat Johnston tomorrow. And you know, if that bumps us up into the top 24, gives us a spot to go wrestle the regional duels, that's awesome. And we'll look forward to that. And if it doesn't, then that's all right. We're going to keep getting better, and we're going to go to districts and get 14 guys, as everybody has asked me every year, you know, what are your goals? And 14 guys to state, 14 state champs. That's still the goal. You know, we're always trying to get these kids on the podium, and they're into the state tournament and then on top of the podium. So that's the main objective right now.
All right. And then on Saturday, like you mentioned, you guys will compete in the Ed Winger Invitational at Urbandale, which is always a prestigious tournament. And like you said, Max could get a matchup against the number two guy at his weight, Jackson Miller of Carlisle, who is currently undefeated. Of course, Max was named the outstanding wrestler at last year's tournament after he won the 157-pound title. He won at 144 as a freshman, so he's looking to win the third straight crown. You know, do you think you'll know a lot more about Max after this weekend?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Max is a competitor, and, I'm too old to get on the mat and wrestle with them every day. We got some younger coaches to do it, and they leave practice on those days feeling beat up and tired, and because he's such a talented kid on the mat. We'll learn a little bit about conditioning, a little bit about timing, a little bit about mat presence, but I'm not really worried. We're gonna go out and we can't look at. Yes, Jackson Miller from Carlisle is the number two ranked kid, and yes, he'll probably will be the seeded number one and two there. But we got to beat three other kids to get there. So, we're going to go out and wrestle Johnston tomorrow, and we're going to go wrestle that. That's our next match, so that's really the only thing we need to worry about. And then hopefully we'll see some development and consistency and conditioning out of Max and everybody else on Saturday at the Ed Winger in Urbandale. And we'll just keep moving forward.
All right. Then you guys will close out the regular season next Thursday at Southeast Polk. And, of course, the following week will be the regional and state duels if you happen to get into those. Mm-hmm. And then your team will travel to Iowa City High on February 14th for the Class 3A district tournament, where the field will also include number 8, North Scott. And like you mentioned, I know your goal is always to get the 14 guys to state. But what did you think of your team's draw there? Is there going to be some tough teams there?
Yeah. I mean, North Scott is always a good team. They got a great program. Great coaching staff, great facilities. So they'll be a formidable opponent for sure. Iowa City High always has some tough kids, and it's a good program. I like the draw. I like where we're at. We're going to go Friday after practice and spend the night in Iowa City, so we don't have to get up too early and drive over to get to weigh-ins at 8 a.m. I like where we're at. I like the draw. I think we're going to get a lot of kids through. I got coaches on my staff like Coach Alblum, who is already, he's on paper figuring out who we beat, who our common opponents are, where we're going to be seated. And as always, little surprises here and there, but we usually have a pretty good idea about, we know where we're going to be on the brackets and who we're going to wrestle and, what our chances are. If we go compete, we got great chances at every week. So it's a good spot for us.
Well, I was talking to Coach Wignall earlier on the podcast. Of course, his team will host a district tournament that same day. And I assume they try to balance out the districts with all of the fields. I mean, it would have made sense geographically to have you guys just go across town to Ankeny. I mean, would have made it easier for you, wouldn't it?
Sure. Well, a much shorter trip. Yeah, it'd save some money on a hotel. But no, I think, and especially in the last 5 or 6 years, the state has really done a much better job of spreading out, so they're not, 6 really good teams at one district and then 3 districts where there's not a whole lot of good teams. I think they've really done a much better job of going through and kind of looking at where they finished the year before, who graduated, where they're probably going to be at, and then, kind of spreading them out. And I'm happy with that. So they're doing a good job.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a couple of teams over there in Iowa City that you probably haven't even seen anywhere that you're at.
Sure. Yeah. Burlington, Davenport Central. We haven't seen Newton all year. Cedar Rapids, Kennedy, we haven't seen. Jefferson, we saw early at the Keith Young, Cedar Rapids, Jeff. But yeah, we don't see him again until district. So usually those matchups early in the year, kids are at different weights. By the time we get to districts and things like that, we're at different weights. So it'll be a lot of new things. But, in today's world, you can watch those kids wrestle online and know what they have and what they don't have. So
will that make the seed meetings interesting? Because there probably won't be a lot of common matchups, right?
Yeah, that's true. Not a lot of common opponents or head-to-head. Track wrestling, though, that's something I do kind of miss about coaching. It used to be, our seating meetings were sometimes get heated and we had back and forth with coaches about this kid or that kid. But for the most part, now track wrestling, it takes your record, state qualifier, state place winner. You type in your, before you can get there, they know who's got head-to-head matches or common opponents. And usually pretty uneventful. I don't get to yell at anybody or nobody calls me names anymore. So kind of miss that.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, these next few weeks should be fun. Looking forward to it. Good luck the rest of the way, Coach. And, thanks for coming tonight.
You bet. Appreciate it, Dan. And appreciate all you guys do for Ankeny Sports.
You bet. All right. Well, my final guest tonight is a senior captain on the Centennial squad. And he wrestles at 285 pounds. He is Dirk Winkle. Dirk, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, like we talked with Coach, you know, this team has had some ups and downs this year, and I guess you have too. What has been the highlight of the season for you thus far?
Highlight of the season was definitely my win securing last Saturday.
At Osage.
Uh-huh. Yeah, at Osage, securing that, and had a pretty good match in the Ankeny-Ankeny duel, and that felt pretty good.
Well, yeah, Osage, you did go 3-3, and you had pins in your last two matches. And like Coach said, that helped you guys to your victories over Hampton, Dumont, and Humboldt. Do you feel like you're wrestling pretty well right now?
Yeah, I feel like I'm wrestling pretty well, just learning more every day and getting more into it and scrapping and getting better every day.
Well, we talked about your upcoming schedule with Coach. You guys will travel to Johnston for the dual meet against the Dragons on Thursday. You know, how important do you feel like this meet is for the team?
I feel like it's pretty important. You know, second to last CIML duel. Just get out there and try our best and scrap and see how we can do.
Well, now that you guys are pretty much back, you know, to the full lineup that you expected to have this season, do you think this team can maybe surprise some people here over the next few weeks?
Yeah, I think we can definitely come out with some big surprises, and we're just getting better. There's no showing what we haven't done yet.
Well, how badly would you like to get the team, you know, into those regional duels?
I would like to see that very much, but also just kind of focus the next thing as we're getting to it.
Well, I'm sure one of your goals for the rest of the season is to qualify for state. And if you were able to do that in your senior season, what would that mean to you personally?
That'd feel pretty good. And that'd be life-changing. As I was talking with Coach Hildreth today, and he said, you qualify for state and that'll change your life. So just kind of thinking about districts as it's coming up and having that goal in your mind, just going at it every day in practice saying, I need to get better. It's one less day to tell districts.
Let's talk about the path that you might have to take, you know, to get there. You guys will compete in the district at Iowa City High, and there are some good teams in that field. I was looking at the individual rankings today, and I believe there are two ranked guys at your weight who will be competing at that district. So what did you think of the district draw for you as far as you're concerned?
I feel pretty good about it. I've already matched up with the Iowa City High kid at the Ames tournament, and I definitely didn't come out as hard as I could have and got tech-falled in the second period, and only learning from that. It didn't get pinned, felt pretty good. Was able to feel the kid out, knowing that I will see him again in the district tournament, and just knowing that I need to get better.
Yeah, the Iowa City High kid you mentioned is number 11, Kane Willie. And then the other ranked kid is number 7, Anthony Keyes of Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Do you know anything about him?
No, I haven't really looked into him yet, but I will be sure to look in and just study up and see what I might see at the district tournament.
Well, of course, the top three finishers at each weight will qualify for state. So you won't, you know, even necessarily have to beat either of those guys in order to qualify for state. You just need to beat everybody else, right?
Yep.
Well, the number one ranked guy at your weight, of course, is Drayshawn Ross of Fort Dodge, who is, you know, one of the best wrestlers ever here in Iowa. He's obviously the favorite to win another state title. Have you ever wrestled him?
I've not wrestled him yet.
Would you like a chance to do that sometime?
Not necessarily. I've matched up with Brady Hagan a couple times this year.
And he's number 2. Yeah.
Yeah, number 2. And he's whooped my butt pretty good. So it's just wouldn't help me to match up with Drayshawn necessarily.
I'm sure you've seen Drayshawn wrestle. What do you think makes him so good?
He's just so fast, and especially at heavyweight, he doesn't wrestle like a lot of other heavyweights. He's fast. He gets his takedowns, moves on.
Can you see anybody beating him at state, or do you think everybody else is wrestling for second place?
I think everybody else is wrestling for second place at the moment.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with you after seeing him, you know, the wrestle the way he does. Now, have you thought about your plans for next year yet? Do you have any plans to wrestle in college?
No plans to wrestle in college at the moment. Plan to go to Iowa State and study ag. Hopefully major in ag studies.
All right, Dirk. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. And good luck here the rest of the season.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. You can listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny wrestling coach Jack Wignall and senior Ben Walsh. We had Ankeny Centennial coach Jay Groth and senior Dirk Winkle, along with realtor Jennifer Geary. Appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.